We're doing Pirkei Avot with the commentary of Rabbeinu Yonah, and we were learning the Mishnah in the second chapter of Pirkei Avot, the ninth Mishnah, where Rabbeinu Yochanan ben Zakkai asked his disciple, which is the path to stay away from that will help us have good traits, that will help us in general. And finally, the final opinion is the student Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who he valued the most. And Rabbi Elazar says, Lev Ra, an evil heart. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Ro'e ani et devarav, et divrei Elazar ben Arach midivreichem. I see his answer as better than all of yours because his answer encompasses all of your answers. Hem amru, we're up to Mishnah Yud. Hem amru shelosha, shelosha devarim. They, his students, each said three things. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Yichevod chavercha chaviv alecha kishelach. Your friend's honor should be as cherished upon you as your own. So that means if I have to make a comment to someone, obviously I wouldn't want someone to comment in front of other people. I am also careful not to comment in front of other people. If I'm going to say something that's complimentary, so just as we would want someone to compliment us in front of others, so do we take pains to compliment someone in front of others, etc. So one's friend's honor should be as cherished as one's own. V'altinoach lichos, and don't anger easily. V'shuv yom echad lifnei mitatcha, and do tshuva a day before you die. Okay? Well, we'll discuss it. He's going. Rabbi Yonah is going to explain. Oh, okay. So you figured it out. Ve'mitchamem keneged ruan shel chachamim. He says, now warm yourself next to the fire of the sages. Ve'vezahil begachaltan, but be careful with their coal, even though they give off warmth. But be careful shelo tikaveh, that you don't get burnt, that you don't go too close. Why? Shen shichatan shichat shual, because their bite is like a fox. And the sting is like a scorpion, and their whisper is like a hiss of a snake. And whatever they say is like coals of fire. So we're going to expand on this, but what he's saying is, be careful. A person who goes next to the fire to warm himself is going to benefit from the fire so long as he remembers to maintain a certain distance. The same is true when one goes close to a Torah giant. So then, as we discussed last night, the tendency of people who are big in Torah is that their humility overrides their greatness. And so people can sometimes mistake and come too close to them and joke around with them and not realize that they're coming close to a coal. Just because they can benefit from the warmth doesn't mean they shouldn't maintain a certain distance. And a person doesn't realize. He thinks that the Torah sage is just whispering. He doesn't realize that a snake also just whispers. But there's a danger in coming too close to it. So here Rabbi Eliezer uses such harsh terminology to warn a person. You might want to pat the fur of a fox, but beware, because the fox's teeth go at an angle, and when a fox bites, it's the worst bite because it's a bite that goes in with an angle, that the teeth can go in the way other teeth wouldn't. The sting is like the sting of a scorpion. It seems like a slight sting, but that venom can go very far. So that's his warning. He says, be sure to come close to the Torah sages. Be sure to warm up close to them. Just be careful not to get burnt by them. Remember, Rabbi Eliezer is the one who didn't know a pasuk in Torah, didn't know Kriyat Shema, didn't know how to bench till he was in his late 20s. And then he started learning Torah. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai taught him, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, and then he became himself a giant in Torah. So let's see what his message is. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Hem amru, they, the students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, they said three things. Tamder Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, shlosha dvarim. Kama v'chama dvarim amru, they said many things. Ela ratza lomar, what the Mishnah means to say is, shergilin kol echad lomar shlosha dvarim chol yom. Each of them were accustomed to say the following three things every day. Every day. These were three messages that were constant. Kinyan shamru, as our sages taught, margalita bepumei derav, bedvarim atzichin tadir. Rav used to frequently say this was things that were necessary frequently. So when I was starting out in the rabbinate, I went to many different rabbis, whoever I could find, and I asked them for advice. So one very, very well-liked rabbi told me a line which struck me at first as humorous, and only later did I realize how important it was. He said to me, "Your job as a rabbi is to repeat the same idea again and again in different words. You have to find different ways to get the same message across." So when he said it, I thought that was funny. You know, the Torah has 613 mitzvot. But with time, I realized that people of a certain generation need to hear a certain message. In our day and age, people need to hear they need to spend more time with family. People need to hear they need to spend more time with their children. People need to hear they should spend less time on the internet. People need to hear that they are positive. People have a difficulty with their own self-esteem. There are a few messages that are pivotal for our day and age. And those messages need to be heard over and over again. If you're talking to people who made Aliyah, you have to talk to them about how wonderful it is to have made Aliyah, because people are contending with the hardships of making Aliyah, and they tend to forget the beauty of making Aliyah. So his message was very, very true. And that's why the Mishnah says different rabbis had different messages that they would repeat over and over again. Rabbeinu Yonah takes it a step further. He says they would incorporate it every day. I can tell you that one of the things I do every year is I sit down and I think, what should be the themes of that year? What are the themes that I have to stress this year? And then those themes will come up again and again in different speeches because people have to hear them. And if they don't get them the first time, they'll get them the second time. And eventually, hopefully they'll get them. One of the themes that I try to repeat here at Mechon Meir is the importance of living in a good community. Very often students make that mistake. We learned the hard way. People learn, they say, "Great, I've got it." And then they go off to community where they're the strongest one in the community. Everyone around them is less observant. And then they have a very, very hard time, almost an impossible time, maintaining their observance level. That's a common mistake. So that's a recurring theme in the classes. So Rabbi Eliezer used to say again and again the following thoughts. He said, "Yehichvot chavecha chavivalecha keshelach." Your friend's honor should be as cherished as your own in Choter Cheret Shanukan. We're talking about basic human behavior here. The Derech Eretz, the way a person should behave. Lechazerach al kavod chavero, a person should pursue his friend's honor. Ve'achpotz ki yechabdu kasher chafetz b'chvod atzmo. He should desire his friend should be honored as we each desire that we should be honored. Ve'hu miderech hamusar. And this is part of good behavior, that a person should pursue his friend's honor. So that means we're happy to compliment someone. Ordinarily, we are not. We find it very difficult to give someone a compliment, to speak about how well they did. That's why we always stick in the butt. He's great. He's wonderful. He's friendly, but we have a hard time just being positive. So Rabbi Eliezer says, number one, pursue your friend's honor. Number two, al tinoch lichos, don't anger easily. Yadua ki midat hakas hira'ad meod. It's well known that anger is a very bad trait. Now remember, who's saying this? Rabbi Eliezer, the disciple of the house of Shammai. He's teaching us, don't anger easily. Achteva bnei adam liot nimshach achareah. Human nature is that we are drawn to anger. So he says, being that sometimes you will anger, whether you like it or not, the thing that we should control is that we shouldn't anger easily. And as one desires anger, so weigh it in your mind. Is this issue worth getting angry about? And if you could find any angle to undo your anger, so undo it. But sometimes there are things you should get angry about, and that's when you should get angry. Part of our problem is that we don't. Part of our issue today is that we don't get angry. An Arab bus driver committed suicide, and the Arabs stopped bus service for all of Jerusalem for 3 days. They came with a libel that we killed him. But you know what? What they know how to do is express their anger. An Arab walks into a Jewish shul and butchers people for nothing. And we weep, we cry, we pray, but we don't show anger. And that's a weakness. There are times when we should show anger. There are times when our ability to be silent is a weakness, it's not a strength. Rabbeinu Yonah says sometimes you have to get angry. When things are befitting anger, that's when you should get angry. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer did not say, don't get angry. Rabbi Eliezer said very carefully, he said, don't be easy to anger, but you have to be capable of getting angry. V'zehu amar Shlomo alav ha-shalom, and that's why Solomon said, peace be upon him, al tevahel beruchacha lichos, don't be quick in your spirit to anger, ki kas b'chek selim yanuach. Because the fool always carries his anger with him. That's what Solomon was saying. Don't be quick to anger. Anger should be something that comes over time when it's thought out and when it's really necessary. Don't act like the fool. Being that a fool is always on the verge of anger, he's quick to anger. So he doesn't have control over his spirit. And even in areas where there's no need for anger, the fool gets angry. Even though the fool realizes he is destructive with his anger, he doesn't take control of his spirit. Just like the snake who has the poison between his teeth, according to one opinion. And when he bites things, whether he likes it or not, the venom comes out. And the snake doesn't have to make a concerted effort to spit it out. That's the way anger is by the fool. It's there, and it comes out almost on autopilot. And that's what our sages taught. A person can be recognized in three things. Bikoso, and what happens when and how he drinks. Bikiso, and where he spends his money. Bikaso, and his anger. So, Rabbi Eliezer says, point number one, pursue your friend's honor. Point number two, don't be easy to anger. Anger when it's necessary and when it's thought out. And point number three, b'shuv yom achad lifnei mitata, repent a day before you die. Yashuv hayom shema yamut lemachal. That's the way it was explained here. Repent today because you might die tomorrow. Ulefi she'ino yodeh yom amita, being that no one knows what day he's going to die, nimtza kol yamav b'tshuva. So then one would really spend all his days doing tshuva. V'zehu she'ne'emar, b'cholet yuv gadecha levanim. That's what King Solomon said. Always keep your clothes clean. What does that mean, always keep your clothes clean? It means always keep your slate clean. Do tshuva. Shloshat dvarim alal margalta margalita bepumid Rav Lez ben Hurknus mipnei shem dvarim atzichim lechol adam tadir. Rav Lez ben Hurknus would say these frequently because everyone needs these messages frequently. So Rav Lez ben Hurknus would frequently remind us these three points. Why do we have to be reminded? Because it's so easy to forget our friend's honor. It's not natural. Why do we have to be reminded? Because it's so easy to anger, to give ourselves excuses. And once one enters that habit, so then it's a snowball effect. It's so easy to anger again and again and again. And why is it so important to remind us to do tshuva? Because look at how we behave a day before Rosh Hashanah, a day before Yom Kippur. When we feel like we're on the cutting block, so suddenly we do tshuva, we're more sincere. But then how come when people have a spat with someone, they can't make up right away? So take some time to calm down. Fine, but people wait longer than that. And when the person suddenly, they hear he's deathly ill, they rush over there and they ask him, hey, I want to make up with you. But who told you you'd live this far? There's a formula that they say for couples. They say, don't go to sleep with a fight on the table. Work it out before you go to sleep. I'm not a believer in that formula. I don't know how you can make that happen. I find that most arguments have an element of tiredness to them. The fact that people are tired causes the fight to be more difficult to resolve. Very often, if couples will only sleep a night and then make up the next morning, I think they can be much more successful if they get a good night's sleep. So, on the other hand, there are many professionals who say this is the solution. You should know you're not going to sleep till you work it out. If that works for people, that's great. But I didn't say you could go 2 days without making up. I just said, if you're well-rested, you might have more of a mood and an ability to make up So that allows us to sleep one night, not two nights.
That's already a pretty high level. Many people, you know, they at odds with their spouse, they may not sleep so well. It'll be on them. And another thing with tshuva, which is interesting, is if you do it at the last minute, you don't really know if it was proper tshuva, it was expected, or you know, you didn't have the opportunity to sin again.
True. That's true. So those are the three things he would say frequently. Then the Mishnah adds another piece of advice about how to get close to the sages and be careful not to get too close. And that's where we'll pick up Bezachem next week.